Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. What a weekend it was for the good, which we'll get to with the Philadelphia Eagles, Howie Roseman, Trot Jr., Cooper DeJean, and of course the Phillies keep rolling out west, but wasn't all good. The Sixers, they do what the Sixers always seem to do. We'll get to a lot of it. We'll get to all of it here. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Hey, people, everybody's not going to like you, but that's okay. Just be you.
Was that advice for me today as I tell the truth about Joel Embiid, or is
probably,
that?
Okay. It's probably be, to be honest, probably.
All right. Well, you know what? Shut up.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of truth serum today, bro.
Yeah, you need it. You need it. We will get to the full Eagles draft. Our reaction to what the Eagles and Howie Roseman did, obviously, the pick of Trot Jr. later in the draft, which just got everyone so, so excited. So we'll get to all the Eagles stuff coming up in a few minutes. We start, though, here with the Sixers, who yesterday laid the ultimate egg. I mean, they just did. That's a game where if they win that yesterday, we are talking about them winning this series. And with Indiana up 3-1 on the other side, we're talking about a legitimate run to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is different. This is different. Joel is different. And then the fourth quarter rolled around yesterday, and nothing was different. It was all the same. It was the same Joel Embiid I've watched for, as he said, 10 years, but at least six of them in the postseason over and over again. When the lights shine brightest, Joel Embiid shrinks. In the fourth quarter yesterday, zero baskets made. Zero baskets made in the fourth quarter as the Knicks took their lunch yesterday. They wanted it more. They played tougher.
Jalen Brunson, man.
The worst part of yesterday is the Knicks play like we all wish the Sixers do. They fight for every rebound. They fight for every loose ball. They are scrappy. Meanwhile, the Sixers just cower. Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter in this series, he's had two total rebounds in four fourth quarters. He has made three total shots, three total baskets in the fourth quarter. He's 3-for-18 shooting in the fourth quarter. He's out of gas. He's out of gas, Hugh, in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks are now up 3-1.
You know, out of gas is strong. Because, like, to me, Joe, he didn't look like he was out of gas. He looked like he just kind of he didn't know what he wanted to do. He got a little indecisive, especially on that one shot where he had a wide-open look where it was like a bunny shot that he took it to the hole. Yep. And he went to lay it up and should have dunked it. I understand probably why he didn't. He probably had a little bit of PTSD from the last time he tried to do something like that and he hurt himself. But in the playoffs and in a game of this magnitude, you got to kind of throw caution to the wind, man. You got to go out there and you got to do your thing. And it's unfortunate for him that it's been much of the same. Like, that's the unfortunate thing about it. When you talk about him, he talking about being here for 10 seasons and everything like that, and, you know, not so much chastising the fans, but getting on them a little bit about who wasn't there and everything like that. I mean, for a lot of Sixers fans, it's been the same thing every year. It's been the same thing every year. And the unfortunate thing about it is when I like to go see the fan reaction, because I wasn't here for the most of the process. So I want to hear what the pulse of the city is. Not like I already have my own opinion about what I think, but I want to see how close to it is it, you know, with the fans. And a lot of the fans said, they echoed Joe. They were like, hey, man, this is much of the same thing. This is the same thing that we've been dealing with for years. And the thing that really got people's goat was the fact that it sounded like he was making excuses. I'm not saying he was, but when you talk about what the fans didn't do and all of this other stuff, I mean, that kind of rubs people the wrong way.
Well, it rubbed me the wrong way. I wake up today annoyed at Joel Embiid. I'm disappointed that he's not good enough and great enough to dominate fourth quarters of playoff games. I'm disappointed. I wish he was a different level of star than he actually is. We all do. I wish he was one level higher than he actually is, because that's what you need to win a championship. So I'm disappointed in his play late in the games. I understand their circumstances, the minutes, and how tired he is, and blah, blah, blah. If you want to win a championship, you got to fight through it. And I'm disappointed in his play, but I'm annoyed at him after games, because this is a pattern of when Joel doesn't play well and the team falls apart, he makes sure to find a way to say, well, yeah, but. Well, yeah, this. And yesterday's well, yeah, but wasn't a teammate. It wasn't a coach. It was actually you. Maybe not you directly, but you and your neighbor and someone else who didn't go to the game. Because as what happened last Thursday happened again yesterday. You heard it early during the game. A lot of Knicks fans came down. They took over the building. I mean, listen to this. This happening in a home playoff game in Philadelphia is, I mean, it's ridiculous. Here it was yesterday. To use a word and a phrase Hugh would use, boy, that's strong. I mean, that was loud and that was strong. It took over the concourse. So after the game, Joel Embiid, in the midst of question and answer with the media, asked about that and, you know, the fact that you could hear fans cheering when he missed a free throw in the fourth quarter. Here's what he said.
You guys have always had such great home court advantage here. How strange was it for you the past two games with the significant amount of Knicks fans in the house?
Disappointing. You know, I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. You know, obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town, so, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
It's not okay, says Joel Embiid. He said Philly is considered a sports town. It pisses him off. Here's an idea. Crazy idea for me. I recognize it's annoying that there are a lot of Knicks fans there. I said that on Thursday.
Yeah.
But if Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey and all the other Sixers, you know, go out and dominate the fourth quarter, do you think we're going to hear those Knicks fans chanting?
No, because the Sixers fans are going to drown them out.
Yes.
And I look at it like this, too. I think that Joel Embiid, I understand what he's saying, and I acknowledge that it's not a good look. But at the same time, I feel like you've had a lot of Sixers fans who I remember chanting back in the day, trust the process, and all of this other stuff. And there's been too many times that I think that for Sixers fans, they felt that Joel Embiid has come up short. And yesterday was one of those days. And it also feels like when stuff like that happens, to a lot of Sixers fans, it kind of feels like you're making excuses for the way that you played down the stretch. Because, again, Joe, I go to that play, and I don't know what's on Joel's mind, and I know he's hurt, and I know he's dealing with a whole lot of different things. But when he had an opportunity to have a wide-open shot, I think it was like a minute or something left on the clock, and you decide to go in for the layup instead of poking it. You should have dunked that. And you miss it. That's what people remember. Now, and I understand probably more than anybody why you probably didn't do that, because you thought about what happened the last time you did something like that. But I will say this to that. To be in a situation like that, knowing how important this game is and for that to be on your mind, that's not what a lot of fans feel like needs to be the thought process. The thought process at that point is to try to pull out a win the best way that you possibly can.
Yeah, I'm disappointed and annoyed at Joel that he – listen, there's a way to answer that question. In fact, the head coach, Nick Nurse, listen to Nick Nurse. He's asked about the question, and, like, it's obvious. It's like it's the elephant in the room. Knicks fans took over Wells Fargo Center. We can't avoid it. Here is how Nick Nurse answered basically the same question after the game.
But the road team has a significant amount of fans here that makes it seem like a different home game. How much more difficult does it make it?
Don't put much stock in that. Right? I think we can win here, or win there, or win anywhere. Just got to play better.
That's the answer. That is the answer. Hey, Joel Embiid, if you're asked the question about the fans, the answer is I need to play better in the fourth quarter. I need to play better. I feel like I'm living Groundhog Day. This one's a little bit unique because the fans, and obviously it's an opponent that's only 90 minutes up north, but I've seen the same thing every year. Joel Embiid comes up short in the biggest moments. That's it. That's the story of this series. That's the story of the Sixers. That's the story of the process. Joel Embiid comes up short, and then everybody else is to blame. And now we're going to do a whole show today about fans and who should sell their tickets and who shouldn't and whose fault it is. I'm annoyed at Joel Embiid. I'm going to use a Jalen Hurts line. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
You choked in the fourth quarter. That's it. That's the main thing. That's the takeaway I'll have from yesterday. Hugh, you brought up the moment where he could have shot it. He went to the basket, missed the layup. The moment that sticks out to me, minute 10 to go, they're down 4. And Joel Embiid decides, for whatever reason, that he's going to guard Jalen Brunson full court. He's going to press him. He's going to guard him. The center's going to guard the point guard of the team full length of the court. All right. Let's see if he can create a play. Can he make a steal? Can he do something special? Well, no. Brunson gets the ball over half court. And then as soon as he gets over half court, Embiid just drops back. And obviously there was no communication there, Hugh, because no one was guarding Jalen Brunson.
That one too.
And then he just walked into the lane for a layup. And it's like, what am I watching here? It was so frustrating.
It was like down the stretch. Like there was a series where the Knicks came down and they shot the ball. And you're talking about second chance. Like we always talk about second chance shots. Hell, in this one series, they had fifth chance shots.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they shot the ball, they missed, they got the rebound, shot it again, missed, got the rebound. They had so many different opportunities that it was just one of those things you look at and you're like, wow, down the stretch, this is what happens. It's unfortunate, man. It's unfortunate because I still believe in this team. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough to go back up there and win a game, especially with that fan base being what it is. But I think they can get it done, man.
Yeah, my faith is crushed.
I get it. I get it. Most people's faith is crushed right now. I get it.
215-592-9494. All right, let's react to what happened yesterday. Sixers go down. They're down 3-1. The fourth quarter was a joke. They were out-rebounded 18-8. They missed their last 11 shots. I don't think they hit a shot after 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It was just like Game 6 against the Celtics last year at home, where they just choked the game away down the stretch. The Knicks wanted it more. Joel was abysmal in the fourth quarter. And, of course, we have a takeover of Knicks fans here in Philadelphia. Kyle, what are you feeling this morning as the Sixers laid a Sixers egg yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it was a miserable day. It was way too early in the day for me to be upset.
That should have been an 8 o'clock game, so yeah. I could have went right to bed.
I spent the rest of the day just completely stewing over the whole thing. Honestly, what's hitting me today is what Daryl Morey did not do to help this Sixers team. Yep, and I know you're going to fill out your little bingo card back there, but it's true. I mean, the New York Knicks at the trade deadline made moves and put themselves in position to be here. Think about how Jalen Brunson stunk in the first few games, yet they were up 2-0. They were up 2-1. Right? Like, we don't get that luxury of when Joel Embiid is not good. And I admit, he was not good in the fourth quarter. What else is there? I mean, Buddy Hield was a did not play coach's decision.
The fear of God from the bench.
Like, what are we doing here? So, Tobias Harris, he stinks. Not really anymore I need to say about that. But Daryl Morey did absolutely nothing to help this team. We were all good with it because, we're just going to push our chips in the offseason. Next year, we're going to be into it. But no, look, now we're all pissed off and we let those cockroach Knicks fans take over our stadium. And I get that people are going to be annoyed with Joel Embiid today, because it sounds like excuse making, this or that. I didn't hear a yeah, but there. I heard somebody ask him about his thoughts on Knicks fans taking over the stadium. And then I didn't hear a lie come out of his mouth. I didn't hear him blame Knicks fans or Sixers fans. I heard him just comment on what the truth of the situation was. You never see Lincoln Financial Field or Citizens Bank Park get taken over like that in the playoffs. Like, you never, ever would. It was a disgraceful showing by Sixers fans. And if we can comment on when Joel Embiid doesn't show up, he didn't show up in the fourth quarter, then I think he has a right to comment on when Sixers fans literally don't show up. The whole thing left me sick to my stomach.
Oh, no, he has a right to comment, and he has a right, and I said that. He has a right to feel the way that he feels. But at the same time, you have to understand why this fan base decided not to come to the game. It's because there's been years, from what I've read and what I've been told, of you not showing up. So they felt like – it was a lot of fans that felt like and feel like today, the reason why they didn't go to the game or the reason why they didn't want to patronize the game was because they felt what was going to happen happened.
And they were right.
And they were right. Like, I've read – you know me, I'm petty. I like to read the comments. And that's every Sixers fan that's a diehard Sixers fan talked about that. Well, hell, you've let us down for so many seasons. I just didn't want to have that heartache. And I think that's how most fans felt.
I'm sorry, but the Phillies went an entire decade without even making the playoffs. And the fans showed up.
But I think the difference is this, Kyle. And I'm not saying that they're right. I'm not saying that they're right. But it feels, from what I've read and what I've witnessed myself, it feels like sometimes – that Joel Embiid is not all in, or he doesn't give maximum effort. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm not saying that. But when people see that compared to when you see a Bryce Harper or you see a Brian Dawkins or somebody like that.
Even Jalen Hurts with a bad shoulder.
They don't perceive the same effort from him as they do those other guys.
I agree with you. I agree.
That's fine. But, like, we can't sit here and claim we're the best sports city in America. We're a basketball town. Forget that.
That's fine.
That's over.
But, you know, you could say that, but then I don't want to hear one person, and in front of me, and Kai already knocked off a box here. I have Joel Embiid excuse bingo, okay? Because I predict by the end of the show we're going to have bingo. Kyle hit one, Daryl Morey, right? We're going to make excuses for Joel Embiid. I'm going to read you a quote then right to the phone lines here. This is from Joel Embiid. It's from the cut we play, but I'm going to read it. Okay? One line. It kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. Joel Embiid's performance pisses me off because he's considered one of the best players in the league. 3 for 18 in the fourth quarter. I don't want to hear best player in the league today. That's what in the fourth quarter in the series, he's 3 of 18 from the field. You cannot be considered a true superstar, all-time great, and play like that in the fourth quarter. That's it. That's it. So if Joel wants to say, hey, I thought Philly was a sports town, my response is, Joel, I thought you were a superstar. I thought you were one of the best players in the league. That's it. Show me. I'm tired of everyone telling me for 6 years, Joe, why is so hard on Embiid? He's one of the greatest players in the world. No, he's not. He's a regular season player. That's what he is. He's a regular season player. And until we realize this, until the Sixers realize it and put someone on the team that can help carry him, they're never winning. Regular season player. You question if this is a sports town, I'll question, are you actually a superstar? Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy Monday, fellas.
I mean, I did love the Eagles draft. We'll get to it, Chris. What's up, buddy?
Well, a lot of good things in this town going on, but let's get to this painful issue here. Listen, we may as well just rename the Philadelphia 76ers the Philadelphia Cowboys. I mean, you know, I'm just tired of the same old, same old. You know, Embiid's like Dak, you know, great in the regular season and just gets into the playoffs and just folds up. And listen, Tin Man Embiid, you know, it's the same whine. He's just the same whiny female dog that he's always been. You know, he's just going to mope. He's going to point the finger. He's going to blame the fans. He's going to be this and that. Reality is, in crunch time, in game time, He can't rise to the occasion. You know, that game should have been one where he was Brunson. Brunson said, yo, get on my back, and he carried them. Embiid didn't. Embiid can never do that in the playoffs. He just crumbles and falls apart when they really need him, and then he just sits there and points the fingers. And it's just that same entitled persona attitude he's always had. It's just who he is. So, like, I can't be that mad at Embiid because – Embiid has shown us who he is. That's him. So I agree with Kyle in this regard. Daryl Morey, like, what are you doing? You're going to bring his Buddy Hield, and he's been on a milk carton. I mean, he didn't even play in the game, and that was your big free agent acquisition, and, you know, now we got the most dominant team and blah, blah, blah. He stinks. He can't even – he was nowhere to be found. I mean, it's the same thing, and you know who else I'm also mad at? I'm mad at our stupid, crappy owner. Because where is he at? He doesn't care.
Well, he's down in Washington with the Commanders draft.
Exactly, exactly, Joe. But you know what he does do when he's up here? He's busy lobbying to the city to get himself a new stadium. That's what he cares about. So, like, you know, there's no heart. There's no passion. It's not the Jeff Lurie that actually legitimately cares about winning. You know, it's just, to him, it's a business. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. It is a business. You want to run a business successful. But don't expect us then as the fan base to support you through this nonsense when we've been, when we keep sticking our head in the door and you keep slamming our head in the door. Finally, we smarten up and we say no.
Yeah. And you know what? And know what it is, Chris? And well, that's a fair point. And Chris, you know what this probably was? And we appreciate the phone call.
What you got?
This was probably a perfect storm. What you, Hugh, what you're saying about all the years of expecting something and then people are kind of giving up their hope. And the fact that the team they're playing is 90 minutes north, right? Like in past years, they played the Raptors in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
In past years, they played the Celtics, which is not that far away, but it's also not, you know, a quick drive. It probably was the perfect storm of a big fan base, 90 minutes away, people not really believing. And I said on Thursday, it is annoying. Like, I don't think what Joel said is wrong. I don't want to hear it from him yesterday, though. I don't want to hear it.
Yes, the timing.
You choked yesterday.
The timing.
So how do you feel about Jalen Brunson today?
Jalen Brunson is a really good player.
Oh, okay, because he had one good game in this entire playoff series, yeah. just like Joel Embiid. And then I'll say,
I don't think Jalen. The objective here is to win a championship. Joel's talked about as one of the best three or four players in the world. I don't think that about Brunson. He's a good player.
I thought we were talking about him as like maybe a top five guy before this
playoff
series started.
Well, I don't think he's quite that good, and yeah. I don't think they're winning a title with Brunson as their best player.
The difference in the series has not been Jalen Brunson. It's not been Joel Embiid. It's been the other guys.
Are you trying to get all the bingo spots?
I am. Yeah, because it's true. Like, some of these aren't excuses or reasons. Like, these things have happened.
And he is 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter
of
the series.
Yeah, but he literally went out there and played the entire second half. You know why? Because the team sucks when he's not on the court.
You know, four guys played 40 minutes yesterday. Why can they do it? Why can they do it?
What do you mean, why can they do it?
Did Tyrese Maxey look tired in the fourth quarter?
Tyrese Maxey sucked too.
Did Brunson look tired? Did Josh Hart with 17 rebounds look tired?
Josh Hart was bad too.
I don't care how many minutes he played. That's his job.
Right, but you know why he had to? Is because the rest of the team was god-awful.
Wait, Josh Hart had to?
I'm talking about Joel Embiid.
No, I know, but four guys. This whole thing about, well, he's
Josh Hart almost fouled out.
He played a lot, but he didn't.
He was bad.
He had three blocks the fourth quarter. He's better than Joel yesterday.
And he's completely healthy.
It's his job. This is his job. Like, this, the excuses for Joel, it's every single year. Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Jay.
Oh, my God, Julio. I swear, you aggravate me to no end, man.
Go ahead, Jay. The floor is yours. Make all the excuses you want for Joel.
Excuses is facts, man. And his whining fan base, man, you taking up for it. I don't want to hear it. Has he told you the truth?
No, Jay. How about someone tell? Hold on. Hold on. How about we say the truth? He's a regular season player. You hear me? I'll say it again. He's a regular season player. Ready? I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it for everyone to hear. Joel Embiid is a regular season player. That's what he is, guys. Until we get it through our skulls that he's not a postseason player, we're not going to win anything. Go ahead, Jay. Defend him.
Look who we got to play with.
Oh, my God.
Did Buddy Hield play yesterday?
Buddy Hield stinks, Jay.
Buddy Hield on the back of a milk carton,
Buddy
bro.
Buddy Hield stinks, man.
Did Buddy Hield, his bench getting outscored 90-2 when they're
the bench,
in the playoffs.
All right, hold on. I want to get all the bingo spots for you. You got the bench.
Get them all. Get them all. Because the
bench gave him 14 points yesterday.
The double standard for athletes in this town, man, is ridiculous. Get on Joe and all this and all that, and you don't talk about Bryce Harper, how he be choking all the damn time.
Bryce Harper has had a moment that Joel Embiid could only dream about.
Ain't got no championship.
He could only.
Don't bring that, Bryce.
Jay, you're out of your mind.
I think Jay, it's more
out of your mind comparing Harper to Embiid. Harper hit the Phillies into the World Series.
Yeah, I think it's the whining though. Like I said, I'm not mad at Joel Embiid, but I understand the gripe of the Sixers fan. And they've been dealing with this. This has been a tumultuous relationship since the beginning, since the process started. And there's been times where, you know, since I've been here, Joel Embiid has not been the consistent dominant player in the playoffs. And that's a fact. And this is not me trying to, you know, pile on anything. That's just a fact. There have been games where Joel Embiid looks great, and then there are games where he fades. And yesterday was a game where he faded when we needed him the most. He faded yesterday.
He made some questionable decisions at the end that potentially cost him the game. I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. That's not, you know, and you can make the excuse that he doesn't have the supporting cast, and you would be right. But at the end of the day, when you're considered the best player on the court, you have to play like that, man. And it's not fair, but that's just how it is. You're considered the best player on the court, and sometimes life throws you curveballs. You know, you dealing with the Bell's palsy, which I get, and the one leg thing. But you got to go out there and you got to play.
You put that one on your bingo card, the Bell's palsy?
Oh, you're darn right.
Thought about that one.
Yeah, oh, it's there.
No, I mean, it's a real thing.
I'm going to let that be for the next caller, though, if someone wants it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. Are you annoyed at Joel? I am. Listen, I heard the same thing you guys did yesterday. A lot of Knicks fans there. That is not fun. But this is not the time or the place after you choke away a fourth quarter and play like garbage in the fourth to be talking about the fans and saying, I thought Philadelphia was a sports city. I thought you were a superstar. 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls. What's hitting you after yesterday? But when we get back, can we actually get a something that makes us happy over the weekend? We'll get to some of our biggest takeaways from the Eagles draft. They got my guy Cooper DeJean and, of course, the pick of Trot Jr. All coming up next. Sports.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
What up, though, Detroit? Hey, first off, I want to say, go blue, all day, baby. A-E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! And y'all already know, all day, Dallas sucks all day. With the 40th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Cooper DeJean, DB, Iowa. Let's go.
They got my guy. Welcome back. It is a big cool day show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yes, it wasn't just a Sixers nonsense weekend. No, it was an NFL draft weekend, and almost every analyst out there says Howie Roseman did a heck of a job. Yes, Cooper DeJean was the first one Friday night. They trade up, pretty big trade up in the second round to get Cooper DeJean at Iowa. By the way, can we get BG to announce all Eagles picks from now on? His energy is perfect for that stuff. Cooper DeJean arrives. Hugh, it was quite a weekend for the Eagles. So the full class, Cooper DeJean, obviously Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Jalix Hunt, the edge rusher,
yes,
from a small school, Will Shipley, running back out of Clemson.
Anais, a good running back, too.
Anaya Smith, wide receiver, Texas A&M. Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
Hey,
from Clemson.
Jr. Yeah.
And then late in the draft, Trevor Keegan, offensive lineman. Johnny Wilson, a big wide receiver. Dylan McMahon, a center. Hugh, what hit you? I mean, a couple things that got me excited. One, Cooper DeJean, because that's the guy I wanted the whole time. And mm-hmm. to get him and Quinyon Mitchell, they could remake this entire secondary. We'll see what they do with Cooper and where he plays. But I just love that they saw a player they wanted, and they went up and they got him. And then, of course, the Jeremiah Trotter Jr. pick, one that we all kind of talked about for months, but it was like, are they really going to take him? We didn't know where he'd go. Yeah. And then once he slipped, I'm like, because they traded back so much. Howie set a record for trades. And then he's there in the fifth round, and boom, they take him. Can we hear it, by the way? Because these are awesome, these calls. So the Eagles put out these calls of where it's literally Howie calling the prospect saying, we're drafting you. And they put Sirianni on the phone sometimes and the owner. This was pretty emotional here. The call to Jeremiah Trotter Jr., especially when you get to the part where Jeff Lurie's on the phone and referencing his mother who passed away last year. Here's the call they made to tell Trot Jr. he was coming to the Eagles.
All right, hey, Jeremiah Trotter.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
It's Howie Roseman.
Nice to be talking to you.
What are you thinking, man? You think we should trade up and take you right here? That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd love that.
Yeah, you're an Eagle, brother. Just like it's meant to be. Right where you're back home, brother. Proud of you.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Jeremiah.
Hello.
How you doing? It's Coach Sirianni.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Hey, congrats, man.
Jeremiah, how old were you when I first met you?
I'm
two,
sure I was
two,
young.
Three,
yeah.
Four. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Just really huge congrats. Congrats to your dad, and I loved your mother, so.
Thank you.
Congrats. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
A very emotional moment for the Eagles, for Jeremiah Trotter, for his son arriving to the Eagles. Hugh, what did you take away from what Howie did and obviously the pick there at Trot Jr.?
Man, I felt that. Like, I just want to say that first. I felt that. And the one thing that I like about Mr. Lurie is that he's a very sincere individual. And, you know, he's very personable when it comes to everybody's child and everything like that. So that I really, really felt that. I'm excited for Trot Jr. And the thing, I know I tweeted this out this weekend, but – I think that there's going to be an opportunity there. I understand that he's a fifth-round draft pick, and there's not a lot that is going to be expected from him, and he's probably going to end up playing special teams his first year. But to be home, number one, I was tweeting Trot about this. I was like, dog, you know how big it is to have your son playing in the city that you played in, and he doesn't have to worry about trying to find a place to stay, get acclimated with the city or anything like that? Only thing that he has to do is sit up and watch football with his Eagles Hall of Fame dad. And I can tell you this, and I did not know this, but I saw it as I was doing my little Twitter thing. Like, to have your dad here that played the position at a high level, the way that he played it, and is still a student of the game the way Trot is, to have young Trotter be there and just watch film with his pops and understand the concepts of football and everything like that, that's huge. For a young man, because I can envision right now, because, you know, when they go home, they have iPads and stuff where they can watch practice. They can watch the offenses play that they're going up against. To have your father there that played, again, linebacker at a high level, and tell you and critique you in a way that nobody else can, because, you know, the coach is going to coach him one way, and it's going to be the thing that he realizes. But his dad played with instincts. And to have your son there and be able to talk to him every day about what he's seeing at practice and all this other stuff, man, that's huge. That is huge. And I'm pulling for the young cat. I know that there's a lot of people that don't see him potentially being a start on this team. I'm like, I don't know, dog. It all depends.
Well, the linebacker room as it is now
is really thin.
It's not very
strong. Really, really thin.
Yeah. He certainly could work his way there. Now, has it happened day one? Probably not.
Probably not.
I did see someone. There was a comp out there this weekend I saw. It was interesting. TJ Edwards, who was an undrafted player here, eventually became a starter. He won a Super Bowl, you know, NFC champion team, and then went to the Bears this past year. I thought he played like a Pro Bowler. That would be a good outcome. If Jeremiah Trotter Jr. becomes like a TJ Edwards, I'll take that. That means starter.
I tell you, to have a fifth-round draft pick like Trot Jr., and to be in the city that your dad played in, and to have your dad there watching. Because I watched a video where they were talking about how when he was younger, and Tammy, God rest her soul, how she would – go film the team that they were playing the following week. And then him and Pops would come home and they would critique that film. That's where his instincts come from. Knowing what to see and knowing different tendencies and things of that nature. I'm excited. I'm excited for young Trot because he's family. You know, I know Ike's excited for him because we watch these young kids grow up. We watched him grow up, and we watched him become the young man that they are. So, yeah, I'm very excited for him.
I'll give you another name, another Eagle, the one that we haven't, don't talk about much these days, but was a good player on a team that won the Super Bowl. Nigel Bradham was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, he was a smaller dude. He was a smaller dude, too.
Not drafted that far in front of where Trot went. Look, the future is in front of us. We'll see what happens. But I'd love that they picked him there. That was awesome. Howie, and Kyle says this a lot, Howie makes it fun to be an Eagles fan. I mean, he does. Like, this draft was fun. They traded up. They moved back. Every 5 seconds, he's making a trade, getting three picks for next year. They end up with Trot Jr., and you look at some of these like consensus where people thought they'd go versus where they went. Hugh, they got five players in Daniel Jeremiah's top 150. Now, they got them all over the place. But, you know, if you end up with like three of those guys, that's a good draft. Like, they ended up maneuvering, getting good The Cooper DeJean pick, we all thought he was going in the first round. To get him in the beginning of the second round, they got Mitchell and DeJean. This felt like the remaking of this secondary.
Yeah, you know, another thing that jumped out to me, because I know we talked about this early, Joe, and the fact that, you know, it's probably a given that all nine of these draft picks won't make the team. I don't know, dog. It looks pretty good. When you talk about some of the positions they got, you're talking about the young wide receiver, Johnny Wilson. He might have a shot to take it. I'm looking at the latter part of the draft. Ahnia Smith, he might have a shot to make it because we're talking about, you know, the slot receiver. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I would say that there's a lot of pressure for him to be successful here because of, you know, the dad, the namesake and all that stuff. But I think he's going to be fine. I say all that to say I think he's going to be fine. So there's going to be a lot of young guys on this football team that are playing. And to that point, you got Cooper DeJean and you have Quinyon Mitchell. I predict that – I don't know which position they're going to have Coop play. But I feel like he's going to be on the field.
I agree. I think both those first two picks will be on the field. 215-592-9494. And it never made sense to me after all the passing touchdowns they gave up in yards that they weren't going to totally remake the secondary. And now they finally have done it. I mean, they signed Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They got Isaiah Rogers coming back now. He wasn't really playing last year. And now we get two new guys in this draft.
And they got damn near 11. 11.
Corners.
11 corners.
Yeah.
They got 11.
That means
not 11. 11.
11?
11. No, 11.
11?
11.
Okay, I'll let you say
it. They got 11 corners.
215-592-9494. Your reaction to the draft, the Trot Jr. pick, and of course, the Sixers here. Are you annoyed at Joel Embiid for whatever? I mean, you could be annoyed at him for whatever you want, his play or what he said after the game, because he said he's annoyed and disappointed, and I use the word pissed off, that there are a lot of those Knicks fans here. Well, how about play better in the fourth quarter? Can we start there? Kev in West Philly. Hey, Kev.
Hey, yo, what's going on, Joe? What's up, Hugh?
What's up, Kev? What's going on, man?
This is my thing with it. I understand your gripes with Joel Embiid. The easy thing to do is blame Joel, but the whole team stinks. And I want to go on record if you give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
I want to point out a few things that this is why they're never going to win. And I'm going to tell you why right now. And we got to let reality sit in. This front office has been awful for a long time. First of all, this is a couple of the mistakes they made. You got your center in Joel Embiid. With your draft pick, you go and take another center, Jahlil Okafor. Then what do? You go and get Ben Simmons. And then before the draft, you announce that Ben Simmons is going to be a point guard. And then what are you going to do? You draft another point guard who never played no other position but point guard, try to make him a shooting guard. Then you go and get Mikal Bridges. Then what you do with Mikal Bridges? You trade him for a 6'4" center who is just absolutely trash. Every first round pick you squandered away. You trade him Markelle Fultz, and even you didn't get nothing for him. You got Jonathan Simmons, let him go. You let Sible go for nobody. You let the guy that shot all the threes, I can't think of his name, that the Sixers drafted, and now he's on OKC.
Isaiah Joe.
It's mistake after mistake after mistake. You trade hard and then get all these tough guys and everything, and they was looking great. Then what do? You trade them. You trade away Marcus Morris and them guys. Beverly would have been a pest on Brunson. He would have hated to go against Brunson. Or Springer, another pest. You just give them away. So this is what they're going to keep doing all year. They're going to keep getting guys, letting them go. The team's never going to build up. They never going to win. Y'all keep saying trade Joel Embiid. You trade Joel Embiid, get ready for Bobblehead Night Wednesdays and Dollar Dog Night. Because you're not going to win either way. So the best bet you can do is try to build off more off of Joel Embiid to help him out. Because without him, you're finished. As far as the Eagles, great draft. I'm just very upset, man. I'm pissed off about the Sixers.
Kev, you're not the only one, man. Dog. We appreciate the call. So I agree with a lot of what he said there. Now, I do have to check a bingo box off. This is organizational mistakes that date back years.
I mean, he ain't lying.
No, he's not lying. I'm just, but that's part of it. But what does that have to do with yesterday in particular?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
He's right. I mean, all the stuff he said is right. They made a ton of mistakes. I mean, we could point. I'll even go to the one they traded Morris, the Morris brother, to go get Buddy Hield. Morris would actually block out on Josh Hart. He would get a rebound.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree. They made a ton of mistakes. But that doesn't excuse Joel's performance yesterday in the fourth quarter.
Nah.
He's just, and part of me, I feel like I'm being very hard on a player that is coming off of surgery and has Bell's palsy and is given a lot. But isn't that part of the responsibility? If you're the best player or one of the few best players, you got to give 45 minutes sometimes. That's the NBA playoffs. Hugh, it just feels like it's like a gas tank. We always joke about, you know, putting a half tank or a full tank, $20 in. Feels like no matter what they do, his tank's empty in the fourth.
Yeah, and here's the reality of being the elite athlete that Joel Embiid is. Nobody cares about all of that when you make that kind of money. I mean, that's a fact. And I'm not trying to be cold or callous because I know what he's dealt with. Hell, I've been in that situation before. Nobody cares because your job is to go out there and push through all of that. And the fact that in the box score, it says in the fourth quarter, out of these four games, that you've only gotten two rebounds is telling. And that's what people see. No matter what you're dealing with, nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about your knee. Because for a lot of fans that pay their hard-earned money to go to these games, this has been a pattern that has been followed for years. For years. And it's not your fault. But when you ask people to go out there and show up and everything like that, and the outcome is the same, or they feel like the outcome is the same, that's a hard pill for anybody to swallow, man. That's a hard pill to swallow. And unfortunately for you, that there are times in the game where it just looks like you forgot how to play basketball. Like, to me, listen, the play that sticks out to me the most was the one where you had an open three. It was open two at the end of the game, and you decided to drive to the basket and missed instead of poking it. That one, to me, was like, I'm looking like, dog, what you doing? And then on top of it, I think it was that play was before you let Jalen Brunson drive to the hole, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there are times where when Sixers fans see that, they're like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You might as well have been the fullback escorting the running back into the end zone, because that's basically what it looked like. You dropped him, and he went in to score. So, yeah. It's tough for fans to get behind you when stuff like that happens.
You want to make you feel better?
Make me feel better.
Well, you know, you were saying that, you know, some people think, well, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was drafted in the fifth round. We can't expect much. I started looking through, like, recent drafts of fifth round. You know, there, once in a while, a fifth round linebacker becomes a start. Dre Greenlaw from the 49ers was a fifth round pick.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I'm not saying that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is going to be
good. I know
what
you're saying.
But, like, because of his draft spot doesn't mean he can't become something good. I love that they draft him there. If they took him in the second round, it probably would have been a reach. Let's all be real. Like, it would have been like, all
probably
right.
Some expectations.
Yeah.
That would have been a lot higher.
But the fact that they got him where they got him, it's a fun draft pick, and it has a chance to be a really good draft pick. Derek is up next. What's up, Derek?
What's up? Yo, real quick, I got a rant for this. To the people that's out here driving right now when the weather's nice, there's going to be road work, right? So either leave early or have some patience. I'm a truck driver. I see cars just hopping out of their car. Like, they've never seen road work going on before. Like, you're going to get caught in some kind of construction work at some point throughout your day this summer. So let that get through your heads.
PSA for everyone out there. Leave early.
I'm not mad at it.
I like
right?
it. All right,
so
Derek.
Anyway,
go ahead.
This is my Sixers rant, right? The only thing I'm gonna get on you about, Joe, and kind of you too, is when Embiid dropped the 50 and he came out and said he had Bell's palsy, y'all was in all this, oh, he has Bell's palsy, he's playing on one leg, he's gutting it out, he's doing this, he's doing that. And then as soon as he went to bed again, now it's all Embiid is this, and he's got to do this, and he's got to do that. I'm not going to question that man's effort because I don't know what his effort. You know what I'm saying? If he's out there playing, I'm guessing he's giving it his all. But the Sixers team, to me, bro, they are the softest team I have ever seen. You know, their effort that they be giving out there, and being included, it is so sad. And to me, some of that got to come down to coaching, right? If Doc Rivers was here, we'd be all over Doc. But for some reason, we making it seem like Nick Nurse got it under control. No, we don't. He crying about the refs. He's saying this and saying that. This team is soft, right? Tell me if I'm wrong.
They are. No, Derek, the worst part is that we're all watching it, and the Knicks are playing the way we wish the Sixers were playing. Like, the way the Knicks go after the ball on a rebound, I wish the Sixers did that.
He had, like, his best game in game one. Josh Hart, he looked like an all-star. He was hitting threes. He was driving. And then the last couple of games, like yesterday, going into the fourth quarter, he had 2 points and 13 rebounds, and he was giving maximum effort, right? Then we let Precious, just think of that name as a man, Precious Achiuwa came in there and neutralized Joel Embiid for 12 minutes.
Yeah, Derek, I'm glad you brought that up. But Derek, it's a good phone call, man, and I agree. They are soft. I mean, I watching it yesterday, that's the only takeaway. They're soft down the stretch. Josh Hart. Like, that's the kind of stuff. How come Tobias can't do things like that when he's not scoring? Josh Hart had a miserable offensive game yesterday. He had 17 rebounds. He played 3 blocks in the fourth quarter. Like, he affected the game for his team. And then as far as Precious Achiuwa.
Precious.
I tell you what, when obviously Mitchell Robinson didn't play yesterday, and then Hartenstein got 5 fouls, but in the third quarter, it was just foul after foul. The fourth quarter should have been Joel dominating whoever the third, like Precious, right? Their third string center. And instead, I don't even know what he was doing in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I would say this to Jay. I understand, Jay, everything you're saying is truth. But at the end of the day, man, when you make that kind of money, ain't nobody trying to hear all that. They trying to see the baby. Don't nobody care about the labor pains, man. That's a fact. You know, Joel Embiid, I applaud him and commend him for going through everything that he's gone through in this playoff series. But the reality of the situation is every time that you step on that court, every time you step on that mound, every time you step on that football field, You best be ready to go, because if you're not, ain't nobody trying to hear about you and your wife having problems at home, or the fact that, you know, you didn't get enough sleep last night or anything like that. You feel me? I mean, that's the reality of being a professional athlete. You can't have any off nights. That's why to this day, when cats get sick and they talk about they were sick and they're a game time decision, we immediately go to the Jordan flu game. Mm-hmm. It's almost like clockwork, Joe. When you hear somebody sick, because when Jalen was sick and he had to fly out to Seattle by him damn self, everybody was thinking, oh, Jordan flu game. Didn't play out that way. But that's what we're all thinking, because that's the standard that every athlete is held to, that Jordan standard. That might well call it – did I just coin a phrase? The Jordan standard. Well, I guess it's been around for a while. But you know what I'm talking about, the Jordan standard.
Make it yours.
That's the Jordan standard. There ain't nobody trying to hear all that other stuff. Jordan went out there and dropped 50 on people when he was drunk.
Hungover.
I take that back. I don't know that to be true.
I think he was probably hungover.
I'm saying. I don't know that to be true. I'm just talking. It just felt like the right thing to say in the moment.
You know what?
But it was a Jordan flu game. You got to go with what you feel.
So I hear Derek's point on Nick Nurse, and there was a lot of criticism yesterday that Nurse played Embiid the entire second half, didn't give him a rest, and that's part of why
if he wasn't out there, we'd have been down like 20 points.
I get it. So here's my thing on all this. At some point, I'm losing the energy for all the other things when there's one common denominator, right? Like, we did the Brett Brown, he screwed it up. We did the Doc Rivers, he screwed it up. Now we're on Nick Nurse, he screwed it up with timeouts or bench or whatever, or Joel's minutes. We did it was Ben's fault. He was the second star. We did the Harden, it's his fault. He was the second star. Now we're going to do Maxi, hasn't showed up every single game so far. There's only one common denominator here all these years. And you all know who I'm talking about. Like, that's why my frustration is on Joel. I'm not saying Nick Nurse is perfect, and he's had some tough moments in this series so far. I do think that. But the best player's gotta carry you.
Man, this is what I don't understand. Because when I think of say, like Ant-Man the other night for Minnesota and the way that he played, and everybody talking about how he sent KD and those cats home.
Yep, in a sweep.
Yes, he sent them home. When you're the best player, or considered the best player, the absolute best player on the court, which I think it's not a stretch to say that Joel Embiid was the best player on the court, there's more expected of you. And even though everybody that's calling here talking about the organization, talking about the bench and all that other stuff, you're right with that. But when you are considered the best player on the court, you can't go into the fourth quarter of four games with 2 rebounds. Like, that's a fact, regardless to what the situation, regardless to the ailment that you're dealing with, regardless to the knee situation that you have, because as a fan and people that watch the game, they're not trying to hear that, man. You're on the court.
Nobody's going to give you that quarter and say, oh, man, well, he's hurt. He's sick. I mean, it's the truth. But when you're out there on the court, Joe, and you're making umpteen million dollars or whatever, ain't nobody trying to hear all those excuses, well, man.
And it's every year, right? Like, I know the Bell's palsy thing is unfortunate, and that's a weird, rare thing. That's this year. But the knee or whatever, it's every single year. 215-592-9494. More on the sixth when we get back. Your phone calls. And more on Embiid's fourth quarter. It was a disaster. Nick Nurse's explanation for why Embiid played the entire second half. We'll discuss it next. 215-592-9494. Are you annoyed at Joel? He's obviously annoyed, at least to some extent, with all the fans that weren't there because all those Knicks fans were. We'll discuss Joel, the Sixers, your take on the draft as well. Cooper DeJean, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and a lot of praise for Howie Roseman out there at the draft that he had this weekend. We'll hit it all on Sports Radio 94. WIP, and everyone knows by now the major news, the new big acquisition, Kyle Schwarber's newest teammate, me. No, I'm not playing for the Fightins, but as you've heard, I've partnered with Kyle and Yards Brewing Company's Philly Standard Beer, the tailgate beer. This season, when Kyle goes yard, beers are on Kyle. At bars all over the area, you can enjoy a free Philly Standard the day after Kyle goes yard. Download the Yards Brewing Company app for details and participating bars. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philadelphia. Drink responsibly.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.